What's happening?
What's y'all going on in here?
I saw Dark Goof just send on Twitch, Jason mixing that milk box. Looks like he's packing a dip can almost. So I was sitting here extra time trying to make it look even more like that.
Mm-hmm. Put a big plug in there, J-Rob.
Five too slow.
Hey, now.
J. Martin Ramon, 104.5 The Zone. On Twitter at J. Mart and Ramon.
I wasn't a Whistler.
Whistler right now, 60%. Loud muffler guy, 39%.
Still winning.
Not just winning, expanding the lead.
I want people to understand, this is like bringing down the dynasty. This is Logan Ryan intercepting Tom Brady in New England.
That's what this is, hey, man. Somebody was bound to. I didn't. We waited months. We waited months, man, to see this. See him go down. And here we are.
I mean, I'm shocked that it's this. I thought it would be close. I wasn't even sure what was going to win, but I voted for the Whistler. And it turns out I'm not right. 2K Beasy, top observation. And we're just going to get a couple of these because these are all pretty good.
He's just going in this morning.
2K Beasy, Will Bowling worked out and bullied people. What a life. 2K Beasy, Ben Simmons put together, comes out as broke.
What?
His name, his first name and last name put together, comes out as broke.
Come on, man.
If you put Ramon Foster together, it comes out to sucks at birthdays and five Christmas trees is too many. Depends on the language.
Only four.
Well done.
What else we got?
Well done.
What else we got, man?
I mean, a lot of people commenting on the Whistler, obviously.
Yes. Yes, we do.
Because it's the gift that keeps on giving.
Plot twist from Kerry Benford. Vanderbilt Whistler, really Sunflower, a.k.a. Ron Slay.
Yeah, I don't think so.
That might be Ron.
All right. Auntie Aaron, Vandy Whistler can't drive by my house at 2 a.m. and make me feel like an airplane's about to crash on my street.
Fact.
So he's still going with loud. She's still going with loud muffler guy.
Man, I was outside last night. There's a car that drove by so loud. You know, you hear it, and then it gets, like, super loud. This car stayed loud for, like, 45 seconds or more. I'm like, why is your car that loud? Like, why?
There's no point. I've never understood that anyway, though.
I'm all for muscle car, you know, sounds like, oh, okay, yeah, like, yeah, I hear that. Or if you're at a racetrack.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it's, I don't know. The more I've heard it in any time, now Keisha's like, who is that? Who is that? I'm like, loud pipe guy.
Yeah, that's loud muffler guy.
Loud muffler guy.
Cousin Scooby, you hear loud muffler guy a lot more. That's why they got to go. Ball and Ali, Vandy Whistler should be at every Nashville sporting event. False. Daniel Tubb. I think Vandy guy only impacts a few people who could otherwise mute the TV. Loud muffler guy can impact anyone at any time. Loud muffler guy wins. He's going to drive off. Vanderbilt Whistler makes me have to mute my television. I can't even, like, experience the game as it's meant to be intended.
Yeah, nah. He's owning the airways with that. I can't believe ESPN has said something that still is going on. And it's still going on. That's pretty wild. They're messing with the mouse now, i.e. Disney, i.e. ESPN.
Chris Matthews, what if Vandy Whistler is also loud muffler guy?
Boy.
Mind blown.
No, Casey, that's not true. That's not a Hellcat. That wasn't a Hellcat. That was
Scott Dupree. Something else. The only people that pick loud muffler guy over the Vandy Whistler have never heard the Vandy Whistler.
Atrocious, man.
Chris Mayer, Whistler's annoying, but I can choose not to subject myself to him. Loud muffler guy is inescapable.
It's close.
If you want to watch Vanderbilt baseball,
mm-hmm.
You can't choose not to subject yourself to it.
Right.
If you want to watch it with sound,
mm-hmm.
or go to the game,
mm-hmm.
as you experience. That. Man, we just got so many poll questions set to go.
It is.
Oh, the rest of the week's set.
Yeah, it sure is.
This is, I'll be real with you. Casey, with Whistler guy is definitely spit cup guy. If that was the case, and you see all the little remnants of tobacco around his mouth while he's whistling, kick him out.
Oh, how gross would that
you
be?
See that picture I just painted?
No.
I should probably deserve a demerit for even mentioning that together.
Hard pass
on those umps yesterday in that Tennessee-Texas game, too. Those guys did not make friends yesterday.
It's just dumb.
Not that they're trying to. They did not make friends either way.
No, they did not. Kyle, I'm confident there's nothing worse than Vandy Whistler, and I know a lot about misery. Just look at my handle. His handle is at KBO9 Gamecock.
We all have had our problems, my friend.
Jason Ritt. This is good. This is top observation material as well. Hashtag anchor down. Passing a kidney stone greater than hearing Vandy Whistler.
Ooh.
Root canal greater than hearing Vandy Whistler. Food poisoning greater than hearing Vandy Whistler. And I am a VU fan.
Oh, man. When your own fan base hate you? This is like Green Bay fan base to Aaron Rodgers at this point. What if Vandy Whistler was Aaron Rodgers?
F*** you, Aaron Rodgers.
I was waiting to see how long Ramon would try to walk it up and force me to play that.
You know.
Yeah.
Jeremy Graham, I just watched a clip of this whistling clown on YouTube, and it's worse than Loud Muffler Guy. I haven't been to a Vandy baseball game and won't go with this going on. I voted for the wrong one. Mr. Pineapple, this was more my point. Vandy Whistler's just an obnoxious jackwagon. At least Loud Muffler Guy goes away. Vandy Whistler, you're just stuck listening to this moron if you want to watch the only sport Vandy's relevant in. He sucks and I hate him.
So we know that Mr. Pineapple is also Will Bowling.
Bully. Will Bully Bowling.
Rocky G, Vandy Whistler guy, only gets his moments in the sun one time per year. Loud Muffler moron is year-round to hit you out of nowhere. If that's true, that is true.
No lies being told here, y'all.
But if you actually want to watch Vanderbilt baseball, then you must encounter Vandy Whistler.
Man. Yeah, you do. You have to.
There's no other way around it. 60.2% right now, Vandy Whistler. 39.8, Loud Muffler Guy. I did not think it was going to be that.
Me either.
Lopsided.
I didn't. I actually thought that Loud Muffler was still winning. I voted for Vandy Whistler, but I was like, yeah.
So did I. I thought Loud Muffler would probably win.
Yeah.
Loud Muffler Guy's going down.
He's going down.
He needs more glass packs pulled out of the water.
Get the exhaust hot as ever and put it in some lake water.
He's taking an L today, and I did not think that's what we were going to run into today.
Boy, we probably lost a lot of Vandy listeners today. Or maybe gained some because they hate him just as much.
As many UT people as we have on this show, we didn't have too many in the first place.
Yeah, that is facts.
8-2 right, Vols. Right.
Why are you the way you are?
I hate all the things that you choose to be. When we come back, Dennis Dodd of CBS Sports will join us. We'll talk about landmark week in college football and college athletics as a whole. What does that mean? What does 12-team expansion mean? Whole lot with Dennis Dodd next. J. Martin Ramon, 104.5 The Zone. J. Martin Ramon, 104.5 The Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors right here in Nashville. Brian Lanham on YouTube. New poll should be UT coach returns next season. Dark Goof, I know you're on YouTube, but Brian, that poll's for a real sports talk show. This is the petty sports talk show, sir. LOL.
Hey, man.
That poll question has its moment, but today it's which is worse, Loud Muffler Guy or Vandy Whistler? And Vandy Whistler is taking down Loud Muffler Guy, and we never thought that might happen.
The reigning defending champion.
Because we put him up against plenty other, like, dudes, and every time he's won.
Loud Muffler Guy has come out on top on everything, but the Vandy Whistler is not just winning, but dominating right now as we welcome in Dennis Dodd of CBS Sports. Dennis, what's going on this morning?
Good morning, Dennis.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're doing pretty well, so tell us, how big an L the NCAA took this week in this Alston decision with the Supreme Court?
Arguably the biggest legal loss in their history. The only one that would be bigger would be that 1984 case, Board of Regents, where they lost control of regulating college football television. And you can draw a direct line from that to Monday because that created the pot of money that everybody's fighting over. So, yeah, no, it was huge. I mean, as I wrote, I think this is the end of NCAA amateurism as we know it, which means it's kind of the end of the NCAA. What are they left to do? They've got eligibility. They've got enforcement. I don't know if they do either one of those very well. And they have a heck of a party every March. And so that's what they're left with if you break it down.
Yeah, you know, I one thing I thought was fascinating, I know you've commented on this as well, was if you read Kavanaugh, he wrote a concurring opinion that was specifically designed, one, to open the door to future situations, but also to kind of inform the NCAA, hey, here's how you can clean this up. Like, here's how you can fix this before it gets fixed for you. I was kind of blown away in a very positive direction by Kavanaugh.
Yeah, I'm not a legal expert, but everybody I talk to tells me that was kind of a landmark thing where he not only gave his opinion, but gave them a way to fix this. Hey, you can do collective bargaining. You know, if you don't want to appear before us again in a case like this. And obviously he trashed them. You know, the NCAA is not above the law. There are some great, I will say this, great writing in there. And from a conservative judge who, you know, had his issues in the past, even being confirmed, this guy went up a notch in my book. I mean, he interpreted the law. He didn't make the law. So that was good.
When it comes down to why the NCAA is right here, like, where did they drop the ball? What actually did? Like, can we include social media that kind of gave more exposure to the players and what they want and how they operate and how big of stars they are? Like, what actually got them to this point?
A mindless strategy of chasing this one-of-a-kind model that exists nowhere else in the world. And it was, and I'm talking about the collegiate model, this amateurism model. Even the Olympics have changed. The Olympic model would be perfect for the NCAA. You know, they can simply raise money for training. You know, give Ed O'Bannon money, allow him to earn money for his likeness on the video game, you know, which is going to happen now. Mm-hmm. This day was doomed to happen for the NCAA. It was just a question of when. And they knew that. I just think it's ironic or stupid or something that it came in this case. The NCAA was against giving players laptops, letting them earn internships, you know, it's stuff they should be in favor of for the educational model. They're the ones that say, sports is just a sidelight to what they do in their education. And they went to Supreme Court for this and law not only lost, but got boat raced. I mean, who among us had Sean Alston and nine? You know, the line was nine judges, and they covered.
Wow. And this is a Supreme Court under Roberts, Dennis, that loves to be unanimous. Like, he will actually find a way. He would rather be 9-0 if he possibly can and actually kind of take the teeth out of decisions, which has always kind of put him, I don't know, he's been a controversial justice even on his own side because of that one thing. But in this case, I mean, but here's the thing. We can all agree the NCAA has not been particularly popular for quite some time now. No. You look at this, and even the Supreme Court's just kind of like, yeah, these guys need to be taken down a notch.
Yeah, I thought it was a reflection of a court that had grown up, if you will, if that's the right words, in this era of Board of Regents, where that money started to flow in 1984 and eventually created what the power of ESPN and conference media rights and conference realignment and giant salaries for coaches. They grew up in that era. That's what they know. There are no old timers on there. I remember watching Michigan State and Notre Dame tie 10-10, and then we all went out to eat. You know, it's a big time thing now. And I thought that's what reflected it. I talked to no legal expert who thought it was going to be 9-0. 5-4, 7-2, maybe 6-3. But even then, they were hedging because they had heard that hearing on March 28th. And there's a big difference between a hearing and when they get in the room and write their opinions. But it was 9-0.
As a former college athlete, man, it's always a conversation amongst the players. I don't care, male and female players. It's like, yeah, you're getting an education, but it really ain't free. Right. Like you look at the percentage of the guys and women that go pro, and it's very low. And you're left, like you said, with nothing in your hand as far as internships, as far as just experience in the workforce. You go to college to either, as an athlete, to go pro or to at least have the ability to find a job after the fact. And it's just – you got to ask yourself, though, like you said a second ago, when it really came down to people saying, well, you go to college for free, that's payment in itself. This just confirms what athletes have been saying for a long time. That education wasn't free considering the millions, billions of dollars that the NCAA has inherited over the years.
Yeah, when I hear people say, well, they're getting a scholarship, I just want to shake them by the shoulders and say, wake up. I think I had it in the second paragraph of my column Monday, yep, that the Pac-12, and you know this, the Pac-12 did a study a few years ago where the average student spent 50 hours a week on his or her sport, and then school. Mm-hmm. There had to be legislation crafted where a practice couldn't start after midnight or before 6 a.m. Do you know what that means? There were coaches doing that, either as punitive or whatever. So, yeah, that scholarship isn't free. They can take it away from you. I know at the Power 5 level, most of them are guaranteed, but not beyond that. And beyond that, you know, you don't have to play either. They can do that to you. And now they've got freedom with the portal, with one-time transfer, with NIL that's going to come in some form. And again, what Kavanaugh said is whatever you put before us in that is going to be subject to coming right back here in an antitrust violation. That's why the NCAA desperately needs congressional help on that. These last 2 days, I've been determined I don't think they're going to get it.
I want to read this from Tyler Dunn, who's a friend of this program. GoLongTD.com is his website. He writes, no doubt there are 18-year-olds around the country who'd love to make some money right out of high school to support their families while still playing the game they love. I've always thought this could be the magic bullet for any other football league trying to make it. Give all the 4- and 5-star guys a viable option to make a good salary off their talents. In many cases, their families need the money too. And he's pivoting and piggybacking off of the Supreme Court with the NCAA. Do you think there is a lane for an XFL, for a USFL, for some other entity to try and take a piece of this pie?
Not a meaningful one right now. You're talking about out of high school?
That's what he is suggesting here.
Not a meaningful one, because at some point there's going to be a glut of product on the system. And at the end of the day, if you want to get on film, you want to get on film against the best. Now, if everybody starts going to that league and they pay exorbitant salaries, then yeah, maybe. But somebody tried this a few years ago, and they were going to play, you know, with JUCO players and all this stuff. And I said, that's great, and they're going to get paid. But if you want to get on film, you want to get on film against Ohio State. Mm-hmm. So it's been tried, you know, USFL, stuff like that. I just don't think, as it's currently constructed, I don't think something like that works. You'd be projecting 18-year-old freshmen as pros. Maybe it works, maybe not.
So if you can sit in that building, well, I think where's the headquarters, in Indianapolis with the NCAA? If you're sitting in that room right now as them, you're the president and everybody's on the board. If they see it, you know, crumbling down right now, what do you think's got to be their mindset as far as how to really gain control? Because the thing is, if they lose control, then does it become conference ownership of saying we get to choose what we want to do? Or do you think they're trying to find a way to be able to navigate Pac-12 to SEC to the Big Ten and the Big 12? Like, what's the process you think inside that room now?
Is Wendy's hiring? No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. As I said, their power now revolves around staging the tournament. That still raises $1 billion a year, and they distribute it to members. But other than that, what you said about conferences is true. The power now increases with conferences, particularly the Power Five. One of the alternative proposals in establishing NIL being circulated is this workaround where it would be an NCAA rule, but the players would be striking their own deals with the schools. So the legal liability wouldn't be with the NCAA or the conferences. It would be the schools who would say, okay, we're only going to allow this. And so if you have a problem with that, you're less likely to sue because there's going to be another school or state which allows something more. And I think that's gaining traction. It's going to be all over the map. It's going to be very confusing. We already have these six states. You know, that are going online July 1st. But you know what? states have different rules from state to state. They have different taxes. They have different tax laws. People seem to get around. So that may be the end of this. But at the end of the day, yes, the conferences will gain more power.
Dennis Dodd of CBS Sports with us here on J. Martin Ramon this morning. Dennis, what are your thoughts on 12 teams in the college football playoff and the ramifications for not just the players or the ability to play, but also for coaches and what they can then use on their resumes in terms of more potential chances to make a playoff?
Yeah, in that sense, it becomes more like the NCAA playoff, NCAA tournament. In other words, if you're the eighth team from the Big Ten that gets in, hey, you still collect that bonus. You got to the NCAA tournament. And there'll be some of that with football. You know, obviously, there's only 12 teams. Only 9% of the teams get in. So, you know, there'll be bonuses written in, and they're already written in to most contracts. Even the Kansas coach's contract has it written in, a playoff bonus. So that's already in there. I'm okay with it. But based on yesterday, they've got a heck of a lot of work to do. All the president said was, okay, good idea. Go see if you can do it. You know, feasibility study. Because you've got the bowls. You've got the NFL you've got to plan around. You've got the fact that almost no one has brought up the fact that two teams are going to be playing 17 games, four are going to be playing 16 games, six teams playing an NFL schedule, and not all of these guys are number one draft choices. So it's going to that is going to have to be addressed health and welfare-wise at some point. And where do the bowls fit in? Do they fit in? What does the Rose Bowl want to do? They're going to put a stick in the sand. We want to stay on January 1st at 2 o'clock. Will the playoff and the other commissioners even support that? Is this an end of the era for the Rose Bowl, which might be a quarterfinal? The Rose Bowl might be a quarterfinal.
Wow.
Even if they're a semifinal, I don't, you know, that's great, but they can't guarantee their usual partners. A lot of people don't care, but there's a lot of people that do, very powerful people. They're going to want to get as close to Pac-12, Big Ten as possible. In this format, I don't see how you guarantee that.
Yeah, do you also look at this and say conference shuffling is going to happen too? Teams moving from into bigger conferences, out of bigger conferences, it becoming much more of an arms race? I mean, we already saw that. I mean, I grew up in Virginia and North Carolina in the old ACC, like before Florida State was even a part of it. Now you look at the ACC, it doesn't even look like anywhere near the conference that I remember when I was a kid. It seems like this is ripe for another kind of reshuffling in conferences.
I think it actually is the end of conference realignment or slows it considerably because the group of five now have a guaranteed spot or two. Last year they would have had two. There's something to play for. You know, those powers at App State, Louisiana, Cincinnati, even Coastal Carolina can say, hey, do you want to come here and play for a championship? And now they can legitimately say that, you know, actually beating Alabama in a 1-8 game or 5-12 game is something else. But they can legitimately say that. As far as the Power Five, there's not much room there to go anywhere. They're kind of maxed out at 14. 16 becomes really unwieldy. In the Big 12, I mean, you know, Texas and Oklahoma, there's really nowhere else for them to go where they can win championships at the rate they do in the Big 12. Texas in the ACC or Big 10 would not be the big dog. Oklahoma and the SEC would be maybe the fifth best program perception-wise in the SEC. So I think this does just the opposite. I think this just solidifies things.
So the thing is, we know the Power Five is going to be taken care of. But as a whole, you got schools like North Dakota State and just Appalachian State. Like, as far as what is the NCAA's involvement with them? Or they just got to get on life support and try to make a way? Because are they going to be able to get that money that the NCAA gets from those conference games anymore, since it's really just kind of like a breaking of continents at this point, you know?
Yeah, FCS is – the market has spoken on FCS. The Division I AA was created in 1978, and the idea was – it was the same idea that we have now when the Group of Five and the Power Five sort of evolved. Hey, you can have your own playoff and keep all the money. Well, there was no television market to speak of to televise regular season games or the playoff, and that has held true. Some have tried to move up FBS. App State has done it. There have been some others to grab some of that money. But App State made a good choice because now they can play for a championship. Mm-hmm. And so what you might see in FCS, if it's possible, and I don't know if it is, another migration from teams to there. But FCS is a different level, different neighborhood. Yes, they play a 24-team playoff, but it's just different. There's no pressures of the NFL. There's no agents. There's no, you know, there's a draft, but there's a lot fewer NFL prospects at that level. So the wear on the body, I would even argue, is different than playing a 12-team playoff.
Good stuff, Dennis. We really Absolutely. Appreciate you making time for us. It's been a while since I've talked to you. I know that, and it's always a pleasure.
All right. Thanks so much, guys.
Yeah, Absolutely. That's Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports. That's interesting because I've heard it both ways. I've heard conferences totally realign, and you see teams moving on, and then Dennis says it's the exact opposite. So there's room for a whole lot of opinions right now, and there's rules for a lot of opinion and room for a lot of opinion. At J. Martin Ramon, Vandy Whistler, or Loud Muffler Guy. And coming up next, there's room for a lot of losses and a lot of bad guesses.
A lot of good wins today, baby.
Birthdays will finish off the hour. Still a ton of comments coming in on the Vandy Whistler. A ton. And Kayla Anderson, who put up her piece from a couple years ago, her report on the Vandy Whistler, telling the whole story of it. She's put that up on Twitter. We need to retweet that. It is definitely worth the time. If you haven't seen it, I need to retweet it then. Schaefer's ahead of the curve here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give him a demerit just for self-congratulations.
That is demerit.
I didn't self-congratulate. I told you a statement of fact.
No, you self-congratulated.
That is demerit.
Those are on you or on me?
That is demerit.
J. Martin Ramon, 104.5 The Zone. This day in 1989, Batman released. Michael Keaton, Jack Nicholson, Kim Basinger. Never stood in a longer line for a movie in my life than going to a birthday party when I was still living in Martinsville, Virginia, outside the old Reeves Theater, where there were just two screens, and the line literally was over a mile long. It was the front of the newspaper the next day.
Wow.
I was in that line. We sat in the front left corner, but we got in. Unbelievable.
That's awesome right there.
Things have changed, certainly. I love that you can reserve seats for movies now.
I love the luxury theater
fantastic,
place. Man. Oh, man, beautiful.
Hey, speaking of movies,
let's
see how much you don't know.
I got today.
Okay. Selma Blair turns 49 today. Your favorite Selma Blair role, Ramon Foster.
She was in E.T.
Was that Kayla?
That was Kayla.
Yes.
Kayla's soundboard.
She was in E.T. Not close.
She's 49.
Hang in. She was in E.T.
E.T. was the 80s. Selma Blair was in Cruel Intentions.
What?
She and many other things.
Was she the Hellboy. Wife?
Hellboy.
Oh, never mind. Okay.
Yeah.
Never
mind. Anyway, Frances McDormand, 64.
She was the wife in 300.
Oh, my gosh.
No.
What's Frances McDormand just won Best Actress this year in the Academy Awards.
Really?
For a film five people saw, but still.
What movie?
Nomadland.
Nomadland?
She also was in a little movie called Fargo, where she also won an Academy Award, I believe.
Three Billboards in Ebbing, Missouri.
Yes.
Was one of them. Yeah.
Which was Best Picture like 3 years ago.
Yep.
Oh, nice. That's cool.
Randy Jackson, 65.
Hey, American Idol.
Okay, I was hoping you weren't going to get. I was hoping you weren't going to get that, so I could just say that's a no for me, dog.
I'm like Frank the Tank. I'll do one.
I was praying you weren't going to get that, so I could say that's a no for me, dog. little pitchy for me, dog. As I destroy my microphone.
That is demerit.
Melissa Rauch is 41.
Nice. Was in American Hustle.
Just be wrong. Just stand there in your wrongness and be wrong and get used to it.
Melissa Rauch was in The Big Bang Theory.
That was it. Okay, my bad. TV show.
Howard's wife, Bernadette.
She's
also
Bernadette.
Playing Harry's daughter in the Night Court reboot. I actually didn't know there was a Night Court reboot.
I had no idea.
Literally today years old when I found that out.
That's all right, Ramon. Black people don't watch The Big Bang Theory.
Hey, but Marsha Warfield was in Night Court. So was Charles Robinson.
That's right.
Night
Mac.
Court.
Mac.
Don't get it. Don't get it.
Jason Mraz is 44. Moan, your favorite Jason Mraz role.
He was the guy that played Lincoln in the movie by Abraham Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter?
What about yes, that one. He was it him?
No.
It wasn't him.
Daniel Day-Lewis was in Lincoln.
All right, my bad. I was off.
Joss Whedon is 57.
Mm.
Moan, who is Joss Whedon other than a scumbag?
It was in State Property, a movie by Jay-Z and Beanie Siegel.
No. Oh, my gosh.
Joss Whedon created something called Buffy the Vampire Slayer. He also wrote The Avengers, the first movie. He also wrote Justice League, the bad one that they rehelmed.
Jason, give him his
Joss own. Whedon also wrote Firefly and created that television show.
Only Firefly we know is the drink, baby.
Dustin Gill, YouTube. Are these honest answers? Sadly, they might be.
You have no idea how many tweets we get. Are these for real? Yeah.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
Joel Edgerton is 47, Moan.
Played in Trespass with Ice-T.
Fire Too Slow.
He was in Hoodlum with... No, I'm just kidding.
He wasn't in Hoodlum? That would have got me going right there.
No.
Barbershop 2, Back in Business. Silence means no, I'm guessing.
9999999!
The voiceovers on that clip right there is phenomenal.
The thing that saved you there was being funny enough to say the Barbershop sequel. Not just Barbershop.
Back in Business.
But Back in Business.
Yeah. This long breath.
Moan, Francis McDormand is 64.
You already did this.
Why would you call that out? I wanted to see if he paid attention enough.
No, I'm not going to give you that one. No, that's just treacherous.
This is my game.
That's BS.
You took an L right then.
This is my game. I'm taking my ball and going home with it.
I wanted to see if he actually paid attention enough to remember something I said two minutes ago. You just destroyed the bit.
You already know he's not listening.
We don't know these
The bit actors. Is redundant because you know he's not paying today, attention.
Today is Art Modell's birthday. It would have been at least.
Art Modell.
Who is Art Modell, Mo?
Well, you got to get this one.
NFL.
Who is it? Who?
And owner.
Okay. Of?
Art Modell, owner of Redskins. I can't say that.
Sure you can.
No, we can't say that.
I didn't know I couldn't do that.
Yes! The Chappelle bit. Art Modell. God.
They were in your division.
Oh, Baltimore.
No, he's right.
I know, but it just took so long.
Yes.
But what's he really known for, though, is the Browns. I can tell
you. Oh, the Browns. No, I thought, what's his face?
He moved the Browns to Baltimore.
Yes, to Baltimore. Yes. Yeah, okay. Then, what's his name, Brown, actually bought the Cincinnati Bengals.
No, that was the other Brown who owned the Bengals.
Moan, Clarence?
He owned the Browns and then left and started the Bengals.
It's a little pitchy for me, dog.
It's a little pitchy for you.
You know what, Ramon?
F*** you, Aaron Rodgers.
Clarence Thomas is 73. Who's that, Moan?
Clarence Thomas, the singer? The one that sings I Be Stroking. That one?
The one that sings.
Oh, my gosh.
The one whose number one single is called I'm a Supreme Court Justice?
I thought we were only going to actresses and artists. And actors, like, when do we transition into, like, Supreme Court Justice? Well, they didn't vote soon enough for us to get paid in NCAA. How about that?
Yeah, that's some turd stuff right there.
This is not a good performance by you, Moan.
Dog.
Awful.
Melissa Rauch is 41, Moan.
Melissa Rauch?
Who was that?
She was in Love Don't Cost a Thing with Nick Cannon.
No, seriously, who is Melissa Rauch? Don't give me the fake answer. Give me the real answer.
Rauch? It's the last name? Jason, I have no idea who that is.
Ramoni told you 2 minutes ago.
Again?
Yeah.
You think I'd be listening to you?
That's right.
You think I'd be listening to you? I ain't listening to you.
Fourth hour of the show is next. Brett Bryan's going to come here and save us. We'll be right back. J. Martin and Moan, 104.5 The Zone.
I hate everybody.